Good morning. I'm going to sing for you now. Just kidding. That's an easy way to clear the room, I'll tell you that much. It's great to be with you this morning. As you said, my name's Kevin. Last name is Senapatiratnam. That's good. Easy name. I don't know why he was scared to say it in front of me. I'm just kidding. Senapatiratnam, a good Midwestern name. One of those that just rolls right off your tongue, right? No? All right. It rolls off mine just fine. It is not a Midwestern name. It is a Sri Lankan name. If you're not familiar with Sri Lanka, India is kind of a V-shape, and there's an island country off the coast there. That is Sri Lanka. That is where my dad is from, and that's where I spent like 4 years as a missionary kid back in the day. And if you were to travel to Sri Lanka, I recommend you go during winter time because it's a tropical island. Some churches would say, come on, somebody, at that point, or a good amen. Or anyways, you know, but if you were to travel there, you travel around the island, you're not going to find many Senapatiratnas. The reason you're not going to find many Senapatiratnas, as the story goes, my great-grandfather made up the name. He made up the name because he thought his name was boring beforehand. So thank you, Grandpa. I no longer have a boring name. But I say that everywhere I go because I have to explain my name. That's part of the thing I need to get out of the way right away. But also, having heard that all my life, or maybe it's in my DNA, but I've come to believe that life was not designed to be boring. And as I read this book, Christianity for sure was not designed to be boring. So hopefully we won't have a boring morning, right? Amen? All right. That was good there. You're with me on that one. All right. In a second, I'm going to have Jenny come up, but I wanted to just kind of give you a couple quick things about the ministry as you're getting to know us this morning. God has been using us around the country and around the world for the last 19 years now. After being a senior pastor for nine, we started this ministry 19 years ago, and so the summer is 20. I know, you're like, how is that possible? You look so young, Kevin. I say that to myself when I look in the mirror. No, I'm just kidding. But I say that because when you're about to hit 20 years, God begins to stir stuff in your heart. And I wanted to just for like 3 minutes share. God's been stirring some things in our heart. Some of it's kind of been growing. Some of it's been just kind of fresh and new. This is actually the first time I think I've kind of outlined it like this. And so I don't know if you're the guinea pigs or you get to be the starter people. I don't know. God has put in our hearts to do four things, kind of launch in the next level, four things as a ministry in the next kind of years ahead, kind of just giving you a little bit more about what we do. One of our heartbeats has always been, having been a lead pastor, to go to any church, no matter the size. That's our dream and our heart. And so we're kind of leaning into that more. One of the things we want to do going forward is take a month. If you're going to go to any church, no matter the size, you know, if you go down south someplace, they're not going to be able to fly you in. And so our goal is to get a month and be in a location in some place, you know, like get an Airbnb for a month and just be able to go to any church while we're down there and help them. So that is one of the things we're going to be launching over the next couple years here. Second, we have a heart, having been a missionary kid, to go and be an encouragement overseas to our missionaries. Well, actually, our goal is to take two trips a year overseas to, one, be an encouragement to missionaries. Two, to pray on site with insight. Go to some of the places that you just kind of pray on. And three, to teach on prayer. And so we've been doing about one a year, and now the Lord's kind of saying, now's the time to go for two. And so pray with us on that we'd be able to kind of walk through that door. We have the invitations. Now we just kind of need to make that a reality. Third, God has been using us online I know, you look up, I'm a TikTok star. No, I'm just kidding. I am on TikTok, but that's not the point. God's been using, it's okay, Jenny. You can, we have 4 hours home. It's all right. God's been using us to literally thousands of people weekly online around the world. And so we want to lean into that more, and kind of God's opening, giving us favor, and so we want to walk into that. And finally, God is well, 5 years ago, Jenny joined the team, and next month she becomes a pastor. So we're excited about that. And so one of the things that's been on her heart, she was a pastor's wife before she, well, she still is a pastor's wife, but is to be able to be a blessing to pastors' wives. And so our dream is to do two times a year, a special pastors' wives gathering, I mean, at least to start with two, where they can get together and have people pray for them and bless them and encourage them. And so that's one of the things that we're looking to launch as we go into the 20. But having said that, let me have Jenny as come up, because as they said back in the day, have her greet the people. You know, that was a greet, which really means I hand her the microphone for like 5 minutes, and then we say she preaches or whatever. You know, here we go.
He says 5 minutes. Well, good morning. Yeah, you might as well sit down. Take your time. We are so excited to be here. You know, God is so faithful, and that is what I'm learning. You know, first of all, I was part of the team before 5 years ago, but that's okay. Neither here nor there. We'll talk about that in the car. We have a long drive. But I wanted to share with you something that has been on my heart for more years than I'm even going to count. And that is, actually, okay, let me back it up. Last week, I went to the beautician. Like, you know, you go to your girlfriend to cut your hair, and I'm like, okay, she does a little massage. You put your feet up when she washes your hair. Like, I'm like, this is going to be great. This is Jenny time, right? And she looks at me, and she was, because she's becoming a pastor. She's working in a church. And she's like, God woke me up last night and said, I see you. And she's like, I don't know what that means. And I'm like, I do. All right, that's why I'm here, actually. That's why I'm getting my hair cut. I'm giving you money so I can talk to you about what God has been working in my life for a really long time. So 5 years ago, I was actually working in a job in a school. If you've ever worked in a school, I can kind of see some of the people like, yep, I've been in a school. It's rough. I was in administration. Actually, I was the like third or fourth in charge of the school. And my boss said my job was to be invisible, that I was to work and no one know what I really did. So, you know, that's what I did. I worked really hard, and all of a sudden I became so invisible that they got rid of my job. So that didn't really work for me. But I started researching in the Bible. And I started looking through the women in the Bible. Now, I know there's a lot of men in the Bible. Woot, woot for you. But there are some really great women in the Bible that there's some really good lessons. And one of them is Noah's wife. Now, think about it just for a brief second this morning. Noah's wife. God does not talk to her. He talks to the husband and says, build a boat. And gives him, and then he comes home and is like, look what we're gonna do. And I'm sure she was like, what? Have you ever been there? I've been there. I've got a big vision husband who's always like, let's do this. And I'm like, how? And that was where she was. And she was in the midst of this complete chaos, because God spoke to her husband. And all of a sudden, she's building a boat. And everybody in town's like, why are you building a boat? What are you doing? She gets all the criticism, right? She has to get all the animals on the boat with them. She has to live with Noah on the boat and the animals and her sons and daughter-in-laws. Whew. I mean, if you don't need a deep breath there, I don't know. And then they have to start things all over again. And what I found really interesting is we still call her Noah's wife, because her name is never mentioned in the Bible. She never even gets mentioned. And I think, male or female, there are times in our life that we do not feel seen. We don't feel like anybody sees what we're doing. We are doing things and, you know, we are doing things for God. We are running after Him, and we don't feel like anybody sees us. And I just want you to remember this morning that God does see you. That He sees what you're doing. He is with you. He is walking on that path with you. The person that wrote that story did not find it important enough to put her name in the Bible. But I can guarantee when she walked up to heaven, God knew her name. And God was there with her. And so just be encouraged this morning that God sees you and what you're walking through right now. And He's going to walk through that with you.
Thank you, Jenny. As she said, she started studying that in the Bible and came out with a book entitled The Unnamed Zookeeper, with that has Noah's wife's story and other women of the Bible. And so you can, here, I'll give it to the pastor's wife. There you go. That's a good idea, because maybe some people don't feel seen. All right. And if you are a podcast listener, you can listen to Jenny every week on her podcast, Real Life with Jenny. And she has a tea and a snack or whatever, and then she shares something, like real life, with you. And so that's been downloaded in 70 countries around the world. And so you can check that out. You can find information back there. But, Lord, in the next few moments, we want You more than anything else. We lean into You. We desire You. So give us what we need this morning to walk it out in Your name. Amen. As Pastor Larry mentioned, we're going to finish up the series on spiritual warfare this morning. But first, let me give you one other thing that kind of set the stage, because I need to explain this everywhere I go, and along with my name. Why are you wearing a superhero shirt? All right? And there's a few reasons I'm wearing a superhero shirt this morning. First of all, I'm wearing a superhero shirt because Pastor Larry said the rest of you were going to wear a superhero shirt. I'm just kidding. I'm totally kidding. Never lie in the pulpit. I'm just joking. Reason number one that I'm wearing a superhero shirt is because I'm a nerd. All right? Hi, my name is Kevin. I'm a nerd. I'm here to help you this morning. All right? Can I get a witness? No. As a matter of fact, my first book, Enjoying Prayer, one of the chapter titles is Embrace the Nerd Within. Okay, so that's what I've done, and so this makes me feel comfortable. And that four-hour drive home, I can just take this off, and I'm in jeans and a T-shirt. All right, so that's reason number one. But this other reason I wear this is as I travel around church after church, there's this idea that has creeped into the church, as Pastor Larry alluded to, that there are super Christians that really get to do the stuff. And then the rest of us that just muddle through. It's those people that we imagine wake up in the morning and float to the bathroom. You know those people? You know, they're the ones who spend so much time in the glory. You know, it's like, wow. They have a phone booth in their house that have been constructed by angels, right? You know, they pick it up in the morning and they pick up the bat phone. No, I'm mixing metaphors. But anyways, and they get their instructions directly from heaven before flying off for the day. You know those people? You know, the ones you never want to sit next to at the prayer meeting because you have to pray after them, you know, those kind of people. And so we have this idea that there's those people and then there's us, and it's just not designed to be that way. God is the God of all of us. There's the phrase, again, let me be nerdy for a second, from church history, the priesthood of all believers. We all get to do the stuff, you know. And when we talk about spiritual warfare, that's something we need to remember. But let me back the story up here a little bit. About 7 years ago, now closing in on eight, I had the opportunity to go to a place called Herrnhut, Germany. Anyone ever heard of Herrnhut, Germany? Jenny's heard it every time this year. We're on the book tour here. All right, anyways. Herrnhut, Germany is a small little city in the southern part, some kind of southwest part of Germany, close to the Czech Republic and Poland, and nobody ever hears about it. But my name is Kevin. I'm a nerd. I'm your friend. So I love church history, and I heard they were having a gathering of 120 prayer and missions leaders, and I'm like, let me go. Yeah, let me get there, because I knew the story. The story of Herrnhut, Germany, is a story about a guy by the name of Count Ludwig von Zinzendorf. Yeah. With a name like Senapati Ratna, Ludwig von Zinzendorf makes you feel better about yourself, okay? And Ludwig von Zinzendorf was a count. And, you know, can I get a count in front of my name? I don't know. It was my mother's birthday yesterday, and so we got one of those little plaques as a lady, you know, Lady Linda, whatever. You know, she was excited about that. But I don't have count in front of my name. But Count Ludwig von Zinzendorf, he had a lot of land, and so he let a group of Moravians gather on his land who were fleeing from persecution. And so this church gathered there. But they were not a unified church, and so Zinzendorf went from house to house to bring them together. And when he got them together, there was an outpouring of the Holy Spirit on that place. And out of that outpouring of the Holy Spirit, they gave themselves to 24/7 prayer. And that 24/7 prayer lasted for over 100 years. It never stopped. And out of that understanding of prayer, they gave themselves to mission as well. Because missions without prayer lacks power. But prayer without mission gets boring, all right? It's just not as fun as it can be. Because some of you think prayer and you think boring. It's never designed to be that way, okay? It's just not meant to be that way. But that's because you've lost the mission of what it's all about. And so they did that. And so we gathered in that place. And there was different sessions. And during those sessions, there were different teachers or whatever. And there was a couple that talked about spiritual warfare. And I got to tell you, it was weird. Okay? Now, I know you see a short, bald, Sri Lankan-looking guy up here. But I'm actually from the Midwest, okay? My mother is, you know, from northern Minnesota. You know, they call us the Frozen Chosen for a reason, all right? Our theme song is I Shall Not Be Moved. We do not talk about spiritual warfare, okay? I don't know, you spent the last 6 weeks talking about spiritual warfare. I bless you and I bless your pastor because that doesn't happen, okay? By the way, I listened to them all, so I've done my homework. I'm a nerd. I'm here to help you. So I want you to, think about the fact that sometimes we think about spiritual warfare and we just think weird. But these guys were really weird, okay? They were out there, and I'm having a discussion with God. He's like, so why don't you write a book about spiritual warfare? And I'm like, no, thank you. I mean, I'm the prayer guy, you know. They already think I'm strange. You know, I don't want to talk about spiritual warfare, too. You know, like, no, I'm not going to be invited anywhere. You know, like, I don't get invited to parties as it is. You know, so it's like, that's just, like, why, God? And it wasn't a discussion. So a few months ago, I came out with the book, as he said, Spiritual Warfare for the Normal Christian, How to Win the Battle. And he said he read in 2 days because he couldn't put it down. He read in 2 days because it's short. All right, so it's not a long read because I did it on purpose. I want you to read it, okay? I spent the last 7 years studying spiritual warfare and just brought out the good stuff, okay? That's the stuff that you need to win the battle. Because when you go to boot camp, they didn't invite me to boot camp, okay? But if I went to boot camp, I imagine that they wouldn't want to give you what you actually need to, you know, you don't need all the theory. You don't need all the philosophical things about war. You need how to use your weapons. And the same is true for all of us. That's what Pastor Larry has been going through, how to use your weapons. Because there's basically two camps in the spiritual warfare realm. The first is my tribe. You know, National Prayer Committee, America's, you know, it's us prayer people. And us prayer people huddle together because we have no friends, okay? That's just how it works. We're all over here by ourselves, you know, and because nobody wants to come to the prayer meeting. That's really what happens. So, and so we're at the prayer meeting all by ourselves over here, and nobody talks to us. And so we talk to each other and have created our own language, all right? We have created our own language that nobody understands. And so when they start talking about spiritual warfare, like, what are these people talking about? You know, here's an example. Due to territorial spirits, we're going to do spiritual mapping to determine the soul ties and generational curses so that we can use the shofar to bring about deliverance. You're like, what? What are they talking about? You know, like, what's going on here? So there's that tribe over here. But then there's the rest of us over here. Imagine with me that there's this room here is one of those epic movie scenes, you know, kind of the end of the movie where there's the great battle. And on the one side is the enemy, the villains, all of them are over there. They're about to do battle. And over here is all the superheroes. Maybe, dare I say, they've assembled. Okay, I was just seeing if my people were here. Anyway, so the superheroes are all over here. And then there's you. And you have your lawn chair and in one hand and your cooler in the other, and you walk out into the middle of the field and you open up your lawn chair, you open up your cooler when you got your Dr. Pepper, because Dr. Pepper makes the world taste better. Anyways, and you put it into the little cool holder there, and you know, when you've got that in the holder, you put on that fuzzy eye mask that makes the world disappear. You know, I put that on, noise-canceling headphones, so that's the next thing on there, and you turn on your tunes, sit down for a little me time. Well, all that means is you're going to get taken out first. All right, that's all that matters. I mean, you've just set yourself up and you're going to be blown up in a few seconds. And that's what most of us think about when we think about spiritual warfare. Like, let's be just ignore it and it will go away. C.S. Lewis says this: there are two equal and opposite errors into which our race can fall about the devils. One is to disbelieve in their existence. The other is to believe and feel an excessive and unhealthy interest in them. So we kind of go to one extreme or the other. And what Pastor Larry's been doing in this thing, and what I want to end with, is about taking up your weapons and using them to win. Because that's what the devil doesn't want you to win. He wants you to, his agenda is to steal, kill, and destroy. That's all he's got. You know, his, Jesus said in John 10:10, the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. If you see steal, killing, and destroying around you, you see in your family, in your church, in your community, that's where it's coming from, right? That's what he said. Jesus laid it out. This is what his agenda is. But Jesus' agenda is that you might have life and have it to the full. That's what he wants for you. And so he's given us weapons to win the battle. Paul says that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the demolishing of strongholds. I love that verse. Demolishing. Again, my nerd self just can't help imagine this. You know, imagine a spiritual grenade. And you take that spiritual grenade and roll it into the strongholds of the enemy. And what I love about that passage is it doesn't say those who are super spiritually mature get to do that. It doesn't say those who've walked with God for many years get to do that. No, all of us get to take up our weapons and do battle. It's just a matter of will you use them. And so in the book, I kind of walk through, as similar to what Pastor Larry did, walk through the weapons. But I want to end this morning with the last one that doesn't really have a metaphor attached to it. You know, he has all this, helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness, belt of truth, shoes of the gospel of peace, sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and the shield of faith. All of those have pictures. But when he's ending it, he ends it kind of like it just breaks down and just like, get the point here. Get the point. And he says in Ephesians chapter 6, starting at verse 18, pray at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. And also for me, that words may be given me in opening my mouth to boldly proclaim the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare boldly as I ought to speak. He basically ends with three weapons there for us. Three weapons that you can use today. Actually, if I don't talk too long, we'll do it before we leave. All right. Which, you know, we'll see how that goes. But he basically outlines for them these three weapons. And first of all, pray with all kinds of prayer and all supplication in the Spirit. Basically, he's saying there, pray about everything. Everything that the Spirit puts inside of you, pray about that. Or as one pastor said, if it's big enough to worry about, it's big enough to pray about. Sometimes, oh, it's too small. No. If it's big enough to worry about, it's big enough to pray about. Actually, and there's another guy by the name of Walter Brueggemann. I love these names. You know, it's name day at church. Anyways, Walter Brueggemann said, you don't need to read his stuff. I read the stuff so you don't have to. Anyways, Walter Brueggemann said, there's nothing outside the bounds of prayer. Nothing. Anything. You can bring it to God. And you realize when you are bringing things to God, you're doing spiritual battle. You're pushing back the plan. You're like, I'm just being selfish. No. You are damaging the enemy's plan when you bring your needs to God. You are pouring out your heart, as the psalmist says. And when you do that, the enemy is being pushed back. And I was going to say this at some point. Here's as good a time as any. One of the things that I studied this. This is a phrase. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Have you ever meditated on that for a while? Resist the devil and he will flee from you. If you take up these weapons and you take up prayer and you begin to do it, at some point in your spirit, I hope that you kind of look out there and seeing the enemy flee from you. The backside of the enemy is like, oh, I don't want to deal with them today. Wouldn't that be cool? Yeah, like the devil's like, I'm out of here. These people have their weapons on. They've been going to work, and they just, I'm out of here. You know, resist the devil, and he will flee. And some of that's just bringing your request to God. Whatever you've got in your heart, pray in the Spirit with all kinds of prayers. Go to the buffet table of prayer, and I could teach for 2 hours on that, and I'm not going to. But anyway, so there's a buffet table that the Bible gives and all the types of prayer that we can pray, and bring it all to God, whatever's on the inside. The second one, though, as he says, to that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. Let me give you a mental picture for this one. Again, let's go back to that movie where there's a battle scene. But this time, let's say maybe Civil War, Revolutionary War. And on the one side, they're all lined up in a line. And then on the other side, the enemy's there. We're over here all lined up in a line. And I see it kind of, you know, maybe they have that rally. Someone goes on the horse up and down. Let's go. Yay, you know, and they're all ready to go. And then they start walking down towards them. And they're all in the line. And then over here, a skirmish takes place. And it's not going well. And often in those movies, someone will turn and yell, hold the line. Hold the line. Why are they saying that? Because if the enemy gets through over there, all of a sudden you're fighting from two different directions. The same is true in the spirit realm. If I could say it this way, get up every morning, and as you're starting your day, pray down the line this way and pray down the line that way for your brothers and sisters. Because if someone else in the room falls, we all are impacted by it. If someone, even one of your missionaries falls, it's all of a sudden, it's worse for us. So pray for each other, Paul's saying. That's a battle that any of us can do. You can do that today. You don't have to be a super Christian. You can pray for the people around you. You're like, I don't know what to pray. I bet even if you took a minute for everyone in the room here, that's going to be a while, you know? And I'm guessing if you start with the people close to you on the line, your family, your friends, you're going to have all sorts of things that you're going to have to pray for. And let the Spirit lead you wherever He would down the line to pray for someone. You never know that that moment, like Jenny talked about, you're sitting in a chair and they're cutting your hair. And in that moment, God uses you because you prayed down the line. And you can, God would use all of us in ordinary circumstances by our prayer. Because as we begin to pray, we begin to make a difference for the people around us. Because as Paul said, the whole point of his armor of God, having done all to stand. We want to stand at the end, and we want the people around us to stand, right? You want your family to stand. You want your friends to stand. And you can do that by your prayer. Us ordinary people praying down the line for each other. The final one that he says, and also for me, that words may be given to me, and opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare boldly as I ought to speak. Now, we're just getting to know each other here, but those who know me know that one of my heart's passions is to get people to pray for their pastor. Because I was a pastor, and I know the difference it makes. Let me illustrate it this way. My name's Kevin, and I'm a nerd, so I probably should not use a sports illustration. I realize that. This is probably bad form here, but some of you will argue that what I'm about to share is not even a sport, so you will be fine. I'm going to talk about bowling for a second, all right? Now, if we talk about bowling, I am told by people who know things that if you want to take down all the pins, you have to take down the front ones first, all right? Deep thoughts by Kevin today. All right, that's why we're here. But the devil knows this too. He knows that if he takes down the leadership of a church, it impacts everyone involved. And so you pray for your pastor. But in this setting, Paul's not stopping there. This is not survival mode at this point. Paul, twice in this, he says, given me that I may open my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. This is not survival mode. This is, to use the military metaphor again, this is let's go take the hill. Where is the next hill that God wants to take? Because there are still... This might be shocking, but I'm not being joking with this when I say there's still people out there that need Jesus. There's still people in this community that need Jesus. There are still people in this county that need Jesus. There are still people in this region that need Jesus. There's still 42% of the world that have never heard the gospel or don't have someone as a close friend. And so there's still hills to be taken for God. And so you don't want to play it safe. One of my heart's passion is one more for Jesus. Because if we have one more, I mean, like... Think about getting to the end of your, Jesus is about to come back. And that last person, one more for Jesus. And so you want your pastor to not say, let's just survive. Let's go after all that God has for us as a church. And so you begin to pray that way. All right. I'm going to give you one example, and then we're going to practice this, and then I'm going to be done. We'll be done. We'll be fine. It's all good. I want to show you something here, and then we'll pray, and then I want to encourage you to pray for your pastor and pastors of this church. And so I, most Sundays, carry around in my car pocket a 3x5 card. because I'm that cool, all right? It's fine. Some of you would like to be as cool as I am, and you'd realize how cool I am if you were closer to the phone, because you realize these things are this thing is laminated, all right? That's how cool I am. I'm the coolest person you probably ever met, but it's fine. I'm humble about it. So anyways, I'm being facetious. But one side. It says Sunday, because that's the day today. All right? Deep thoughts by Kevin, remember? On the other side, in big letters, it says pastors. Why do I carry this in my pocket? Because I have need to go in my pocket throughout the day. You know, we've talked about our four-hour ride home. Some point, we're going to have to get gas. And I will pull into the gas station, and for some reason, they want money. They don't let me fill it up for free. And so I have to go in my pocket. And these things are pointy. And so I remember, oh yeah, I committed to praying for pastors on Sunday. And so while I'm throwing out the trash and filling up the tank, I'm praying for pastors. Actually, I've taught this illustration enough. Every time I fill up the gas tank, I'm praying for pastors now. It's sometimes just that simple. Yeah, yes, we'll get it. I'll get back in the car, you know, and Jenny will continue talking about the crazy things I said this morning. You know, that'll be there. But sometimes I'm by myself, and I'll just continue the conversation with God. That we all get to go into His presence and make a difference by our prayer. So would you stand with me? I'm gonna not take a long time with this because although your pastor preached for 53 minutes a couple weeks ago, so I don't know. I listened to it at double speed, though, so it's fine. But we're just going to walk through this quick. So would you just pray with me? Lord, in these next few moments, we lift our cares and our concerns to You. We thank You that You are concerned about the details of our lives. Every single area You are concerned about it. And that when we come to You in prayer, in our weakness, in our difficulty, Lord, You take those things and we're doing damage to the enemy. And so, Lord, we lift our cares and our concern in Your mind right now, even as just lift those things. Right, you may have left them aside earlier when we prayed about them, but now just take them again and just lift them again to God. If you have to do it every day, every half hour, just keep lifting those things to God. Don't let them weigh you down so that you sit down and give up. Just keep lifting them to God every single day because He cares for you. Lord, we lift our cares and our concerns and our worries and our anxieties. We lift them to You. We lift to You depression and things from the past that are holding us back. We lift them to You and say, take them. Lord, we lift relationships that are difficult, that are, where we're struggling on the inside because of something broken here or there or the other place. We lift that to You. We lift areas of sin that we keep. The sin that so easily entangles, we lift it again to You, asking that You would forgive and that You would change us. And now, Lord, we pray down the line. Lord, I pray that each person, and in your own mind, just kind of think about, is there someone in the room that needs prayer, that you know that needs prayer, maybe close by you, maybe across the room, maybe a family member, a friend, you don't. Lord, let us give these people to You right now. Lord, we give them to You, and we care, oh God, that You care for them even more than we do. So, Lord, we lift them to You. We do battle on their behalf, that they would stand. Lord, maybe they're discouraged. Lord, may they not give up. Lord, we're praying for the people down the line. We need our brothers and sisters. So, Lord, we pray for them right now. We pray that they would be encouraged, Lord, that they would be built up, Lord. And if You give us something to share with them that would be encouraging, Lord, may we be that voice. May we be that person that hands them a sword, so to speak, to do battle themselves. Lord, I pray that You would use us as a church to be a blessing to each other, that having done all to stand, we would stand. And finally, Lord, we pray for our pastors of this church, and we pray for this church in general, oh God. Lord, for the next 2 minutes, Lord, I pray, just in this moment, each of you begin to pray in your own words, in your own heart, for the needs of this church and the needs of this community. Begin to pray that they would, that the enemy's plans would not succeed. Begin to pray that the people who have yet to know you would become followers of you. The greatest decision that anyone can make is to become a follower of Jesus. And so, Lord, we come to you, asking on behalf of our community, asking on behalf of those who have yet to, I pray, oh God, that you would fill Pastor Larry and the team with the fresh boldness, to speak with fresh boldness the things that you've called, that people would be saved, that the gospel would be preached all around. Lord, as Easter's coming, I pray for many to be filled with a knowledge of you this Easter. I pray that there would be people who have never come into church would come this Easter, oh God. Lord, that there would be people who would walk in here and find you as their Lord and Savior and never turn back. God, we lift, oh God, the lost of this area to you, asking you to move as only you can. Holy Spirit, draw as only you can. We need you, oh God. Use us ordinary people as we pray, even as that church in Hernhut began to call out to you and it sent them on a mission all around the world. So use us as we seek you and we find you, as we seek you with all of our hearts. So use us, use this church, I pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Thank you so much, Pastor Kevin and soon-to-be Pastor Jenny, for coming here. And just, you guys are, it's so important and so exciting. It's so what God is doing, and I've said it many times, what God is doing here at New Life. And this morning you heard a message from our Lord and our Savior through Pastor Kevin. And this message is not unlike the message you've heard before, so you know it's true, because he's getting the same person telling him what to say as any pastor who follows the Lord. You hear his message. You hear his message. You don't hear my message. You don't hear his message. You hear the Lord's message. And that's what you heard this morning. And it's so inspiring to hear it, and the way he put things, and the way he put a cap on the series that we've been in. Because prayer is so important. It is so important. I'm going to invite the music team to come up, please. And as we get ready, we're going to end in a time of prayer. But it's one of those where we're going to pray over Pastor Kevin and his wife Jenny. Because as he said, those leadership positions, Satan doesn't like those. He doesn't like the leadership leading the flock to the Lord. He'd have it do something else. He'd have us fall down, and he'd have us just even stumble to where we don't know what's happening, to where we can see Satan and hear him telling lies. And that includes Pastor Kevin and Jenny. As they go out and they speak all over the world, Satan doesn't like that. And he would love nothing better than for them to stumble and fall. And as much as he talked about praying for your pastors, we're going to do that. And we're going to pray with you. We're going to pray with you before you leave. But in also doing that, we have another opportunity. And we always talk about opportunities to support their ministry, because the ministry is really big. And you've been doing it for coming up 20 years. So the Lord has blessed you in those 20 years. And I pray he continues to bless you beyond anything you've ever seen. But we can come alongside and we can help that. They have a table in the back where they have some books available for you to purchase. Again, I read the one. And yes, it may be short, but it was also the fact that I couldn't put it down. It was that good. I don't say that always about a book, that I couldn't put it down. And it is an easy read. And you will learn things from it, because I did. So as you go back there and you look through what they have, if you wish to partner with them, if you wish to give them a love offering, I encourage you to do so, to support their ministry, to support getting the word out to that one person. What do we say about angels in heaven? When one person comes to the Lord, they have a party. They throw a party, right? And he's doing it. large scale. He and his wife are doing it on a large scale. If you get a chance to listen to her podcast, do so. He's got a YouTube channel. I was there. He's got a bunch of stuff on there. You know, we all hear about those influencers on TikTok, YouTube, Facebook, whatever it is, right? Let's actually listen to an influencer who can make a true difference in the world for betterment, for giving out Jesus in the world, and leave behind some of the rest of that stuff. We leave it behind. So we're going to worship the Lord in music. And at the end, visit with them. Visit with Jenny in the back. She's back by the table. I'm going to have her come up here in a little bit when we pray. Visit with Pastor Kevin. Because I am so glad that he was able to come and finish this series. And you guys heard a message from our Savior. From somebody else. From somebody else. Same goes with Pastor Jess when you get to hear from her. It's the same source. Same source. We all might do it in a little bit different way. But it's the same source. God is Jesus speaking to you in that way. So let's worship the Lord. Let's give Him praise. And then we're going to come together and we're going to pray.